Good morning, church, and good morning, friends. Could you do me a favor? Could you do on my behalf, smile at the person next to you and say, "This is from Pastor Chris." Can you do that for me? Yeah, just say it's from Pastor Chris, all right? I can't see everyone. Say smile to everyone. And it is really a great privilege for me to welcome you. And DUMC is a great church, and all DUMC people say? I am not very convincing. Let me try again, all right? DUMC is a great church, and all DUMC people say? All right, like what Pastor Alex said earlier on, if you don't have a church to call home, come join us, all right? Our church, we call ourselves a family church, meaning that we cater from the very young to the not so young, okay? And so somewhere in between, I believe this church has a place for you. And we pray that in this place here too, you will find and discover God for who He is. Now, this is a great Christmas season here. Because I believe that every Christmas season should be a great season because we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. And we all have expectation during this Christmas season, right? Do you have expectation? You do? All right. We expect to buy gifts. Please don't keep the gift to yourself. Right? We buy gifts not for yourself. We buy gifts so that because the word gift means you give it to someone so they become a gift. So we expect to buy gifts and give away gifts. And we also expect to receive gift. And I know some of you have been sort of hinting to your loved ones, this is what I want, this iPhone, this PlayStation, you know, quietly, you sort of subtly, you know, lay evidences around, this is what you want. And I pray you will get your heart's desire. We also expect lights, we expect color, we expect Christmas trees and hymns in the shopping malls, and also we sing hymns here in church. And some of us expect long lines at the cashier, right? So many of you have gone to buy things online because it's easier for you, right? So how many of you have gone online to buy your gifts? No? Still not yet? You don't trust the online thing? But I have gone online, and the world has sort of been changing, all right? Now, but what we don't like, this is our expectation of Christmas. Now, what we don't like is actually things that are unexpected, right? And things that are unexpected are the twists and turns of our life because it makes us very, very uncomfortable. Now, how many of us here in this year here has already have unexpected things that happened to you? How many of you? Do you have? All right, I think all of us. Now, unexpected means we don't expect them, but yet it comes. Now, some of us are even here. The reason why we're here, I know quite a number of you are not here normally, because in these two celebrations we have now and the one before, it was packed full of people. So I do not know where half of you, where you come from. Okay, but the fact remains that some of you are here because you felt the need to come. Maybe it's because 2017 have too many unexpected things that happened to you. And maybe you're coming here to say, God, you know, is there somewhere where I can find God where, you know, 2018 will be a better year? Because I know there are many things in my life that I am not in control with. Are there things that you think you're in control with? For example, for some of us, you know, the unexpected things like an illness that hits us. You see, all these unexpected things cause us stresses in our lives. Unexpected death of a loved one. I've already encountered a few people, even for my family as well. And the unexpected, you know, loss of a business deal maybe, a loss of a job. The unexpected depreciation of the American dollar. Right? No, I was told that it's going on the uptrend now. And many of us, you know, who has kids, including myself and my wife, all right, we have kids in studying in the U.S., and we plan, you know, with the American dollar at that kind of value, but yet unexpectedly it went, all right, down, our value goes down. And these are things that are unexpected, causing unnecessary stresses in our life. And so, we expect to come to church, all right, to just enjoy ourselves here, maybe to look for hope. So we want to look at the Bible, okay? We want to read the Bible and see what Jesus have to say about what Christmas is all about, or what the Bible has to say what Christmas is all about. So in DUMC here, the way we normally read the Bible is that we stand up and read our Bible together, all right? So could you do that with me? And just stand up and go look at the screen, and together we will read the Bible aloud together, because the Bible is the Word of God, all right? We're going to read from, you know, two passages from Isaiah chapter 40 and Luke chapter 3. If you could declare, all right, together with me the Word of God, so that people in the other hall can hear you very clearly. All right, do you think you can do that? All right, ready? Okay, one, two, go. a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As this is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. So Heavenly Father, we pray right now, even as we hear your word, will you enlighten our mind, illumine our mind, and Holy Spirit, will you tutor our hearts right now, even as we come before you with our open hearts and open ears to hear you, and all God's children say, amen. Please be seated. So like I say, we expect to come to church. You know, as you've seen just now, to come to a scene like this, right? Where you have the baby Jesus, you have shepherds, you have angels. Maybe a little bit cuter would be a picture like this. This is what Christmas is about. But I don't think you come here to listen to me to talk about this very rather strange man just now we read about. All right, someone who shouted and said, prepare the way of the Lord, and is this man here called John the Baptist. Right, so very unlike the Christmas kind of look, right? Okay, very unlike Christmassy scene. But John the Baptist plays a very important role in the life of Jesus, because he came around shouting, prepare the way of the Lord, meaning prepare the way for Jesus. And he was preparing in Jesus' first coming. Prepare the way for him, because the Savior of the world had come. Now, John the Baptist's call during that time is as relevant today than it was then. Because now we hear the call of John the Baptist now for the second coming of Jesus. Now, Jesus has come to earth on Christmas Day in that sense, right? And born on earth, and he went to the cross, he died on the cross, he was resurrected, and that's the message of Easter. And then he went to heaven. And then he said, I am coming back soon. And so that call of John the Baptist is as clear today as back then, where John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, why do I say that? Because in the Bible, one of the last verses of the Bible in Revelation, all right, where Jesus himself said that in Revelation 22, verse 20, he said, yes, I am coming soon. He's coming back. So the call of John the Baptist is as relevant today than back then. So here we have John the Baptist. You didn't expect me to preach on John the Baptist, right? You probably think about Joseph, about Mary, about the shepherds, but rarely do we talk about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was an unexpected person, bringing an unexpected message at an unexpected time. It was just out of the blue, John the Baptist appeared. And he make a call, and that call is relevant today. What is his call? And his call, I would like to sum it for you in this big idea. All right, the big idea is that you are not called to a religion, but to a person. Let me repeat that, because that's the important big idea. If you forget everything I say, when you walk out this door, you remember this, the big idea. You are not called to a religion, but to a person. Let's read it together. You are not called to a religion, but to a person. So if you get that big idea, okay, listen on. Now what the Bible has to say. The first thing is this, that John the Baptist came at an unexpected time. Now, from the passage we read earlier on, this passage here, all right, there are two verses there, but verses that are packed with a number of historical details. Now, it was unexpected time in that sense. Now, in this case here, Apostle Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he's a medical doctor, but at the same time, he's an ardent historian. In other words, he takes pains to write down exactly what happened then. And so Apostle Luke painted for us, you know, a context of political and religious climate of first century Israel. And Israel at that time was under the hands of what I call oppressive political and religious leaders. And you almost feel familiar right now when I said that, okay? And so here, in the number of names that is even hard to pronounce, right? In the 50th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Now, who is this Tiberius Caesar here? Now, Tiberius Caesar is a Roman emperor who wanted to be God. He wanted people to worship him. Can you imagine an emperor, a leader of a nation, that wants to be worshipped like a god? So you can imagine the repercussion if you don't worship him. All right, so that's the first, you know, historical figure. The second historical figure is Pontius Pilate. And many of us have heard the story of Pontius Pilate, who was instrumental in the crucifixion of Jesus. In fact, he was the one who sort of washed his hands of the whole thing and passed on Jesus to the Jews. All right, and so in that sense, it was a Roman governor who was despised and feared. And then three more character historical figures there, which is Herod, Philip, and Lysanias. And these are the three rulers over the three different regions of Israel. And by the way, historically, they're all unbalanced, you know. Right? And they are all power crazy. They are dangerous and they are cruel. And all these men wanted was just power. That's all they wanted. And these political figures are really bad guys. Okay? And it's as bad as it could get. There were power play, there were corruption, injustices, and one of you almost jumped up and said, it sounds like us, right? Now, then on top of that, there's another two historical figures called Annas and Caiaphas. Now, Annas and Caiaphas, they are both the religious leaders, the top religious leaders of Israel. Now, guess what? They may be religious, but they are known to be corrupted and hypocritical. Now, put yourself now in the position of people during that time. It was a time of political and religious darkness. It had been going on for years. In fact, for 400 years in the Bible history, God has been silent. People have given up hope. And people are saying that, well, I resign now to my fate. Now, how many of us feel like that? Fate. There's nothing I can do. I just have to lift out the fate that has been given or given to me. So maybe you are in that position right now. Maybe you are here because you say, oh no, I'm not in control of the things in my life. I'm not controlling the things happening in Malaysia. I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of that. I am at a loss. And if you are in that position, you are in good company today. Because during that time, under such oppression, religious and political oppression, there was hope. And along came the Word of God. The Word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And out of that darkness, out of that hopelessness, came John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is a priest himself. So John the Baptist was really an unexpected person, all right? And in that sense, he looks like this, all right? I was looking at, this is a movie that was made of John the Baptist, quite a good depiction. And I said, God, why didn't you use someone that looked like me? Why use someone that looked like that, all right? Because if you know the Bible, it tells us that this guy here, John, lived in the desert. And he ate wild locusts, all right? Locust grasshopper. How many of you have eaten grasshopper before, all right? Then he said he ate locusts with wild honey. So I was figuring out why wild honey. Because to eat locusts itself is terrible, so you add honey to it, so it makes it more palatable. Okay? And so I think that's the reason why he mixed those two, locusts and wild honey. So in my mind, I said, God, wouldn't you have chosen a more respectable person to declare that the Savior is coming? Now, let me say this to you so that you know the context. John actually is the son of a priest. He could have continued on in the priestly line, meaning he could become a respectable person. He could, you know, he could be serving in the temple, dressed in his best, the best clothes, eaten, for example, you know, the meat that were sacrificed at the temple altar, because every priest has, in some sense, a right to a certain portion of those meat and the bread that was sacrificed. He could have continued in that. But somewhere along the line, he obeyed the call of God. He went to the desert for whatever reason God is training him to do. He went to the desert, ate locusts and wild honey, and when the time was right, God called John the Baptist to be the herald, I call it. And so, in that sense, God chose John. Now, so I came to this conclusion, simple conclusion, and I preached this just last weekend as well. I said, God uses ordinary people. This is a man who lived in the desert. He's more ordinary than ordinary in that sense. Okay? Now, how many of you think that you are an ordinary person? Put up your hand. Those who did not put up your hand, I assume that you are extraordinary. So I need to go to you and find out in what way are you extraordinary, because I want to learn from you how to be extraordinary. But I have discovered that being an ordinary person, God can use. So you may come here thinking that, God, what am I good for? This I can tell you. If God uses a boy that grew up in a Chinese new village, which nobody knew about, and if I were to tell you the name of this new village, you probably would not even know where it is from. And it's called Kangka Baru. How many of you have heard of that name before? No? Only one, NG, I know, okay? Because she's from the same kampong as well, right? But the rest of us have never heard of Kangka Baru. But God called out this young boy somehow for some strange reason out, and today, right now, standing in front of thousands of people speaking, it is purely by His grace, not my doing. God has a plan for ordinary people if you would only submit your life to Him. And these stories repeat itself every time. Every time I speak to people, they begin to realize that God uses me in spite of how ordinary I am. And that's the good news of Christmas. God will pick you out. God will use ordinary people. God will use uneducated people. If God can use a donkey, He can use you. But I'm not saying suggesting a donkey, huh? Right? God can use anyone if only we are willing. And so here, John the Baptist is an unexpected vessel of God. He came at an unexpected time. But he came also with an unexpected message. Because in that message was a message of hope. Because the world then was living in darkness, in religious and political darkness. But yet there was hope. And what is this unexpected message? And verse 3 onwards to verse 6. All right, why don't we read aloud together this verse? Okay, ready? Read aloud, declare together. 1, 2, go. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Now I want you to hear that clearly. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. And that call is still here today. That God is always calling. He's always calling us. And sometime in the call, He calls us at the most unexpected time. At the very time that we need someone to to hear and heed the call that someone is in control, God called. And I hear testimony after testimonies of people here in DUMC. If I were to line up all 5,000 people here from DUMC here, every one of them has a testimony. Everyone has a touch from God. Everyone heard from God. And God began to do something in their life. So here's the call. The call is the king is coming. Are we ready when he comes the second time? The first time he has already come. He has offered a way for you to be reconciled to God, to be a child of God. Now, Jesus is telling us this time, when he comes the second time, he's not going to come as a baby anymore. He's going to come as king. He's going to come as judge of the world. And by the time he comes the second time, I pray, this is my prayer for all of us, that we will be ready. And so this is a message of hope. Christmas is a season of hope. It's a call here. How then do you make peace with God? How do you get reconciled to God? And here it says, baptism of repentance. Now, what does that mean, baptism of repentance? Repentance simply means that I've been doing this my way. By the way, that's how the Bible defines sin. Sin is a word that we don't like to hear. We tend to think sin as cheating, lying, you know, stealing something from someone, all right, cursing. That's sin, right? But do you know all these are just symptoms of sin? Result of sin? The heart of sin is actually the desire to do things your way. I did it my way, not God's way. So some of us have tried doing it our way. We know the consequence, right? Because there's so many things around us we're not in control of. When we try it our way, you can try. You can try it your way, but you finally hit, you know, a wall. And do you realize that your way is not the best way? And so what it takes today is repentance. Repentance meaning taking 180 degrees turn and then coming back to God and say, God, okay, I confess that. The root of sin, that I've been doing my own thing. Do you know when people start coming to church? So for some people, I was told that the wealthier you are, the more successful you are in business, the more religious you become. Why? Because you got more to lose. Eh? Because there are many things, there are many factors that you are not in control of. Whether it's economic factors, political factors, right? Global factors, you are not in control of, like the American dollar. You are not in control of that. And so you suddenly realize that these are forces that are not within my control. And therefore, for many people who are more successful and wealthier, they become more religious. And it's a fact. I've observed that. They become more and more religious because there's something unknown that they are encountering. They do not know how to deal with that. And so this morning, I want to tell you that you can deal with that. You can deal with uncertain things. And so repentance is to turn away from doing things my way now, is do God's way. Because let me tell you this, God's way is definitely a better way. And then you talk about baptism of repentance. The word baptism simply means that, you know, that the heart of baptism is that those of you are familiar with baptism, you go into the water and you come out, meaning that you died in the water. And you come out a brand new person. No longer living for myself, but living for God. So the call of John the Baptist is simply this: return to God and follow him, and stop doing things your way. So the unexpected message for some of you here is this, that your plan is not as good as God's plan. In fact, God, if he is God, he is not bound by time. He knows what is in the past, what's in the future. He knows everything about our life. He knows what's going to happen in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time. And because he knows, I would rather trust a person who knows exactly what's going to happen down the road than trying to figure it out for myself. For the Christian, we call it living in God's will. Right? Living in God's will. All this may not be revealed, but you are prepared to allow God to lead you into his will. And when you do that, God's plan, we begin to discover that God's plan is better than my plan. So let me challenge you to this. If you have not already have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God is calling you to something far greater than yourself. Because for too long, we have been living life for only ourselves. And if you live life only for yourself, you're coming to a wall one day. Because life is not about ourselves. Life is about other people. And so, you know, live life greater than yourself. And I challenge this church people as well to say, give up your small ambitions. Because God's plan for you is far greater. So, unexpected time, unexpected person, and unexpected message. So let me draw two lessons from there. The first lesson is this. This is what I call revelation. The revelation of God came through John the Baptist. Prepare the way for the Lord. Now, Christmas is a reminder of this truth. God is interested in our lives. God is interested in your life. Could you help me here by again turning to the same neighbor and say, God is interested in your life. Can you affirm that? He's very interested in your life. And I say this because when I read the Bible, the whole Bible is about God with His people. God's people may have wandered away from Him, but He pursued them, He draws them back. And then when He drew them back, they said, I want to be with you. Then He left us a promise to say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that's a great promise of God. Only God can keep a promise like that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know husband and wife, when you got married, you did make that vow. And we know how difficult that is, right? I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, right? But here is God saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's an amazing promise. He wants to be with you. What's the problem? We don't want to be with Him. That's our problem. But He wants to be with us. And so the call for you today is to make that call to invite God into your life. How many of you know Bette Midler here, the singer? Raise your hand, please, if you know Bette Midler. Okay, that betrays your age, huh? Okay. Bette Midler used to have this song. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us. Then? From a distance, right? God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us. From a distance. But that song is theologically incorrect, huh? Yes, God is watching us. But He's not watching us from a distance. Because we tend to understand distance in human terms, eh? But God is spirit. He's in a different dimension. For all I care, God is just right here, you know? Because He's in a different dimension. We don't understand this. But He's in a different dimension. And so, God is watching us not from a distance. God is watching us right next to us. It's almost like He's so close that we don't notice it. You know how some of us are not so young anymore, right? When we wear reading glasses, right? And sometimes we tend to have reading glasses up on our forehead like that, right? And we tell our children, where's my glasses, Right? Then your children, you say, hey, that is right on top of your forehead. Sometimes it's so near that we miss it. And sometimes God is so near that we miss Him altogether. That is why I said, people will only really start coming to God. This is a sad part, People will come to God. And I pray it's not because you come for Christmas. People are coming to God when their life's in trouble. And the more trouble there is, the larger the church attendance. So that's why as a pastor, sometimes I wonder whether I should pray. God, have an economic crisis in Malaysia. Because when there's economic crisis in Malaysia, church are packed full, you know. Why? Because people become religious when there are economic crisis. But I pray that we are wiser than that. We will not come to God because things are bad. I tell you what, why don't you come to God when things are good so that it becomes better. You see, we all got it all wrong. And so we need to realize that God is interested in every area of our lives. And I have walked with Jesus now for 40 years. He's interested in every area of my life. From the time I was 17 years old, and now I'm 57, from the time I was a single young man, when I started working, I became an engineer, then I became a pastor, I married, I have three boys. God is interested in every area of my life. I cannot see my life apart from that. Because God has been such a blessing as He helped me walk in His will. Not that I'm perfect in any way, but God is so patient. He's so interested in me that even when I fail, God pursues me and got hold of me. That's the kind of God that I have. And that's the kind of God that I want to introduce to you. And so, whatever your issues are this afternoon now, you may be seated here. You have a struggle, your need. Maybe you're unemployed for whatever reason that you lost your job. Maybe you have a failed relationship. Some of you seated here with such, you know, pain in your life. Let me say this to you, that God is interested in that, whether it's a failed marriage, whether as a parent you're struggling with your children, or children struggling with parents, and whether you have a failed business that you're handling right now, maybe a debt. This could be your fault. But yet still, God is interested in our lives. And by the way, God has not forgotten Malaysia. God is interested in Malaysia. God, by the way, is far more interested in Malaysia than you. Because God created nations. And God created Malaysia. And whatever He has planned for Malaysia, I believe He'll bring it to pass. I know that many of you are praying for the next general election, right? Right? We don't stand on any party here. But all we say is this, that God, may Malaysia be blessed. Put the right people, Lord, in the position of power. Men and women who fears God. And they will do the right thing. Irrespective of whatever party they come from. We are what we call non-partisan. But we all must be in prayer, amen? In fact, now we should be praying right now. Please don't pray only when election comes. Pray at all times so that God will cause a breakthrough in our lives. So God is interested in Malaysia. God is interested in refugees in this country. What a great opportunity for us to be reaching out to diaspora. God is interested in a hungry child, whether here and in Africa. God is interested in widows. God is interested in single mothers. God is interested in even now single fathers. God is interested in orphans. God is interested in those that are going through times of pain. In fact, He has such compassion for people like that. So He will do what He needs to do. Maybe not in our timing, but all I know is this, that God is very interested in our lives. It may not go the way we want it, but God is still interested. I remember this story of two angels, one older angel and one younger angel. And they came to a home. It's a wealthy family. Now, the family was rather rude, and they refused to allow the angels to sleep in the guest room. So, obviously, the angels came in disguise. And so, they disallowed them in the guest room. Instead, they put them in the basement, a small space in the basement, cold basement. Now, as the angels were making their bed ready to sleep, the older angel saw a hole in the wall. And then he proceeded to repair it, the hole in the wall, down in the basement. Then the younger angel asked the older angel, "Why did you do that? Why do you even bother to make repairs for their walls?" And this is what the older angel said, "Things aren't always what they seem." Then they left the home. The next night, the same pair of angels arrive at the poor farmer's house. They are very poor, but they're very hospitable. In fact, after sharing what little food they have for the two angels, they let the angels sleep in their bed and so that they can have a good night rest. So when the sun came up the next morning, the angels found the farmer and the wife in tears. Why? Because their only cow, whose milk is their sole income, had died. And so the younger angel was so angry. He said, "Why did you allow this to happen?" He asked the older angel. Then the older angel said the same thing again. Things aren't always what they seem. You see, this is like a story of our lives, isn't it? That certain things happen, we see with our physical eyes, we make a conclusion. But you see, God, behind all these things here, God is watching. And so, the older angel explained, "When we stayed in the basement of the mansion, I noticed through the hole, there was gold stored in that hole in the wall. Since the owner was so obsessed with greed and unwilling to share, I sealed the wall so that he cannot ever find the gold." Right. "Then what about the farmer?" Then the older angel said, "Last night when we were sleeping, you know, in the farmer's bed, the angel of death came to the room and asked for the wife. So I gave the cow instead to the angel of death." Then the older angel said, "Things aren't always what they seem." So I want to encourage you here that things may not be what you want them to be. But yet the song of Bette Midler, right, sort of rings loudly in my mind. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us. I need to change the last line, but I can't do that because they may sue me for, you know, changing the lyrics. But God is watching us up close. And that is a privilege of those of us who are child of God. So that's a revelation. God is revealing to us that God is interested in our lives. And the second thing is encounter. Encounter. You see, we are not called to a religion. We are called to a person. Religion means that there's this set of rules that you follow. If you follow this set of rules, even including for Christians, you know, if you come to church faithfully, read the Bible faithfully, pray faithfully, then God loves you. That's the lie of the devil, by the way. God loves us anyway, whether we do any of those things or not. But because we love God, therefore we do these things. You see the difference here? Right. And so it's not a set of rules. It is knowing a person whom I love, so that's why I do these things. See, when I was younger, much younger, when I was 15 years old, I was a very religious boy. My father trained me very well. So in my home, there's an altar, and there are many idols on it. And I would pray every day. I don't know how young I was when I started. I was very faithful. I would pray to all these gods. And I knew that I was praying to them out of fear, that's one, because if I don't pray, you know, things will happen in my life, okay? So I remember praying, you know, taking the incense and I pray, I say, "God, whoever you are," because I don't know these gods, "whoever you are, allow me to have 100% to my test," you know, very self-centered prayer, "allow me, you know, to have this, to have that." And then I remember praying my father as well, you know, "whoever you are, God, all right, will you bless my father so that he has money to buy me things?" I even go out to the outside, to the sky God to pray. I was a very religious boy. And I pray fervently. And I also know that if I don't pray fervently, something will happen to me, something bad will happen to me. And so when I came to about 15 years old, Form 3, I remember very clearly it was Form 3, it was my LCE, Lower Certificate of Education. Those who are older knows that. I went there to my dad. And I said, "Dad, who are these gods that I'm praying to?" My dad has a puzzled look why I even asked him that question. He looked at me and said, "My father, your grandfather asked me to pray to these gods, so now I'm asking you. Don't ask me any more questions." But I was not happy with that answer. You see, I was a very religious young boy, and I wanted to know who are these gods that I'm praying to. And so I decided I want to find out more about God myself, since my dad can't tell me who are these gods. And I remember going to my classmate, whom I know is a Christian. I went to him and said, "Hey, can you tell me about God?" Then he said, "Tomorrow I'll tell you." So he went home. The next day, he passed me a Bible. "Here, you can find out about God here." All right. He didn't share with me who God is, but he gave me a Bible. So I still remember holding that Bible, and I still have it today, by the way, since I was 15 years old. It's a Good News Bible. All right. And I read through cover to cover for 2 years. I read through them. And by the end of the second year, all right, by the time I was 17 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. Because for once now, I discovered that I can know God. I can know Him. I still don't know a lot about God yet, but I know that I can start somewhere. And for some of us, this may be your starting point. All I'm saying to you is this, that God can be known because God revealed Himself in this book here. And then not only will you know about Him, you can encounter Him. And that's the beauty of being a child of God, that we can encounter. And that's what the Christmas season is all about. Every religion is man trying to reach out to God, but Christianity is a so-called religion where God reached out to man first. And that is the Christmas message, that God came down. God came down in the form, He humbled Himself in the form of a baby that He may grow up, go to the cross, and die on the cross for us so that we may have life. That's the message of Christmas. And so can I encourage you right now as I close? Will you seriously think about who this Jesus is? Next question you're going to ask me is this. Can I have the musicians up now? Right. The next question you're going to ask me, so Pastor, where do I start? So let me just tell you how to start, then I'll end, okay? Three things you can do. The first thing is this. First, you say sorry, right? You say sorry to God. Why sorry? Because you've been running your own life. Remember, the root of sin is that we do things our way. And all of us will probably come to the point where we hit the wall and say, we can't do it my way anymore. I want to do God's way. So you say sorry to God. So it's a simple prayer. You say, God, I'm sorry. They have been running my own life. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing, after saying sorry, you say, thank you. Thank God for Christmas. Thank God for Jesus. Thank Him that He died on the cross for you. Thank Him that He loves you. So that's the second thing you must do. Now, saying the first thing, sorry, and the second thing, thank you, is not enough. Because you are still not walking into a relationship with God. So the third thing is the most important. You say, please. So sorry, thank you, and then please. Please, God, come to my life. You see, God will never invade your life without your permission. Because that's the nature of love. Love means you make a choice. No one can force anyone to love another person. It is a choice. And so God is saying that, I want to give this choice to you. Would you choose to love me? If you choose to love me, then say, please, come into my life. So sorry, thank you, and please. And that's how I became a Christian 17 years ago. Sorry, 40 years ago when I was 17 years old. All right. And that's how you can begin. And this journey will be the greatest journey you've ever walked. And this is my challenge to you. Will you walk with us on this journey? And I want all heads to be bowed right now. Will you just bow your heads and just consider what I have just presented before you? That I'm not calling you to a religion. I'm calling you to a person. And if you are willing to say sorry, thank you, and please, I want to pray with you. All across this hall right now, whether down or up in the gallery, you're not here by accident. God pursues you. He put something into your life to lead you here. is never by accident. Some of you have backslided away from God, meaning that you were Christian once before, and you sort of move away from God. And that's why you're back here, and God is so pleased with that. Will you also respond to God? So if you're not a Christian, or if you have backslided away from God, I want to give you this opportunity to say, please, God, come into my life. And then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do something which may be uncomfortable for you, but very important for you, because it is a sign to yourself that you want to make right with God. And I'm going to, at a count of three, ask you to put up your hands. Whether down you're up in the gallery, you put up your hands. I'm going to see that hand, but more importantly, God sees that hand, and He's going to come into your life. And then I'm going to pray for you. Are you ready? If that's you, you just put up your hand where you are. Let me start with those on the ground floor here first. Then I'm going to go to the gallery. At a count of three, if that's you, you put up your hand. I'm going to see your hand. God sees your hand, most importantly. And then later on, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Are you ready? One, two, and three. All right, just put up your hand. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you very much. Thank you. Just keep your hands up. Anyone more on my left? Anyone else? On my right here in the middle? Thank you very much. I see that hand. I see another hand at the back. Two hands behind. Any other hands on this side here? Any hands on this side? Thank you. I see the hands behind. Any other hands? Okay, let me move up to in the gallery. Is there anyone up there? Just lift up your hand where you are. All right, I know it's a bit far for me to see. All right. Is there anyone? Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. I see your hand. All right. Now, like I said, I may not be able to see your hand, but God sees your hand. Could you lift that up? Continue to lift that up. Thank you. Even a child can lift up a hand as well. Now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Even your hand is not up. Even your hand is not up, you can pray a prayer in your heart. Now, this could be the most important decision ever made in your life. And I pray you make this decision, because it will change your life, all right? So, lift up your hands. God sees your hand, and you pray this prayer with me. Church, can you together pray with me this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
I am sorry
for the things I have done.
I've done things my way. Not your way.
Not your way.
I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong.
Sorry for the things I've done wrong.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for Christmas.
Thank you for Christmas.
That you came down.
That you came down.
To die for me.
To die for me.
So that I can be forgiven.
So that I can be forgiven.
And so today, I open up my heart.
I open up my heart.
And invite you,
to
come into my life.
Make me a new person.
Make me a child of God and begin this journey with me. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Church, I see at least about 10 to 15 hands that were up, probably more. But I think when that happened, the whole heaven rejoiced. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a clap for that? Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to do one more thing. Just one more thing, if you would just indulge me on this, all right? Those who put up your hand, whether down or up in the gallery, now it's very important for us to just connect with you, all right? It's very important that we do that. So if you brought a friend, and your friend had put up their hands, all right? Whether, you know, it is a new decision you're making, or whether you're backslided away from God, you want to come back to God, all right? Or for some of us here, who may want to just rededicate your life to God, to say, God, you know, I want to just start fresh again, all over again. I'm going to invite you to do something very uncomfortable again, but this is a family of God here. Right, there'll be people up in front here, standing up in front, and they will be able to just talk to you, just pray with you for a short while as we, you know, end with just maybe one song, all right? And then you just come to the front, all right? Ask your friend, can I walk you to the front, all right? So that we want to give you something to just connect with you and just pray for you and ask God to bless you. Do you think you can do that even up in the gallery? We'll wait for you to come down if that is something that will really help you. All right, could we just all stand right now? And could you just quickly do that? Come right to the front, all right? And if you need prayer as well, if you need someone to just pray with you to rededicate your life to God, please do that as well, all right? So we sing that one song, and then we're going to close in a short while. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All I have because of Jesus, all this promise won for me. When He paid the highest ransom, once for always, for my freedom, I will boast in Christ alone. His righteousness and not my own. I will cling to Christ, my hope. His mercy reigns now and forever. I will boast in Christ alone. His righteousness and not my own. I will cling to Christ, my hope. His mercy reigns.
Continue to come, you know, we'd like to just pray for you. But there may be some of us here who just needs prayer. You know, you're here in church because you just sense that you need something from the Lord, from God Himself. You are Christians, but you've not been coming, you know, maybe to church for whatever reason that may be. I just sense for some of us, the word forgiveness is so important. I just sense right now, so for some of us, we want to enter 2018 with forgiveness in our hearts. Because we are holding something in our hearts against someone. And you know how tedious and how burdensome that is. And I just sense for you that maybe you need someone to just pray with you and allow God to bless you in this area to help you to learn to forgive. And for some of us, we just need blessings in our life, maybe about your job, about your business. God is interested in your business, by the way, right? And maybe what a great way to come on a Christmas day and to ask someone to pray with you, to ask God to bless you. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your children. Maybe some of you just need someone to pray with you for your children because you want blessing upon their life. So we're going to sing this one last time. Whatever your needs are, we want to pray for you, even including healing. Those who need healing, we want to pray for you. Then I'm going to close after this song. Thank you, Lord.
I will boast in Christ alone. His righteousness and not my own. I will cling to Christ, my hope. His mercy reigns now and forever. I will boast in Christ alone. His righteousness and not my own. I will cling to Christ, my hope. His mercy reigns now and forevermore.
Friends, you may not be up here, but I'll tell you what, where you're standing right now, even those on live stream, wherever you are in your room right now, or in the hall that you are in, I want you to receive a blessing from God. I think all of us would love to do that. Would you just raise your hands to the Lord this way, okay? And I want you right now to picture in your mind, whatever your needs and concerns are, you place it in the palms of your hand right now. Just put it in their hands right now. Maybe someone you're concerned about, a situation. Imagine that on the palm of your hand. Or maybe you desire blessings in certain areas of your life. Maybe you have in mind your children, maybe they're overseas. Right, imagine the children in the palm of your hand because you're going to pray for them. All right, for some of us, our marriage, we want to live a marriage to God. We want to live our education to God. Now, whatever your needs are, would you just put them in the palm of your hand and raise it to Jesus right now? Okay, because I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And even your concern about health, concern about finances, concern about, you know, your friendship with people. So there's so many things we are concerned about. But yet God is interested in every area of our life. So lift them up to Jesus right now and pray a simple prayer in your heart. Say, Jesus, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Take, God, my burdens right now and submit it to Him and allow Jesus to take that. So pray the simple prayer in your heart right now. Say, Jesus, take this, God. Take this, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God will hear your prayer right now. And so, Lord, hear the prayer of your saints here. And every person, Lord, who may not be a believer, but they come, Lord, genuinely desiring you to bless. And so, in the name of Jesus, God, you say that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so, Jesus, will you take these burdens, God, from the hands of everyone lifted up to you, so that, Lord, the peace of Jesus, Lord, will come upon us, especially during this season of Christmas. And so, Holy Spirit, come and fill us, God. Give us a renewed heart, a renewed desire. And seal that into our lives today, God. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chris.